I never forget the first moment when I walked into a cinema. I was hooked from there.
Welcome to another Scanon podcast from a lovely sunny Dublin. We're inside because every time we try to record outside, the sound quality is appalling. I'm Niall Murphy, managing editor of Scanon, and I'm joined by Philip Bagnall, who's our reviews editor, and Jason Coyle, who's our features editor.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Tell me anything.
I told you that months ago.
Oh, no, I never listened to you though.
Yeah, well, there you go. There.
That's the problem.
We take our titles seriously.
Yes, we do.
As you can tell. So, gentlemen,
yes.
What have you watched in the last week since we met last?
Well, I watched at the weekend a film that I missed when I showed at the Dublin Film Festival in February, which was Startup.
Ooh. Yes, I loved it.
I won't go as far as say I loved it, but what it did for me was it took all the cliches of the prison movie, which there are plenty, including patterson relationships, all those kind of things that you can have in it, sort of families, all these kind of things, and it kept away from it, and acknowledged them, kept away from pretty much all of them, and the performances.
Oh yeah,
Ben Mendelsohn and Jack O'Connell are fantastic. And like I thought, there was a couple of issues I've had with it, but nothing crazy. I mean, it was very, very good, very brutal.
The opening.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just extraordinary.
It's good. It's really good. And well worth a watch, I would say.
I still haven't seen it. I really need to catch up because I'm a big Ben Mendelsohn fan and a big Dave McKenzie fan.
Yes. And it's well worth watch. And the acting is just, it's superb. It's absolutely superb. And a very good film.
On the back of that role, Jack O'Connell got his next role in Unbroken with Angelina Jolie. And you can see why.
Oh, he's great. And he's got presence.
Yeah.
And then, like, he's young, but my God, he commands the screen.
He's a star.
I would think so.
It's rare to see star quality in such a young talent.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
No, he's very good, and the film really is elevated by the performances, but a lot of good stuff in it also.
Good.
Philip?
Let's see, I finally got around to watching something which I had been meaning to see for a long time, which was The Grandmaster. One Carl Wise biopic of Ip Man, the man who trained Bruce Lee. And I must point out, I watched the 130-minute full Chinese cut. No thank you, Harvey Scissorhands.
this is worth noting, this film did not show in Ireland.
It
did not get a theatrical release, and it has not yet got a Blu-ray or DVD release. I bought the Blu-ray when I was in Hong Kong.
Ah, that's Snowpiercer.
So I did watch it. Legal means.
And what did we think?
It's a Wong Kar-wai film, so it's typically gorgeous.
Yeah.
But as a true story goes, I think he's better suited to fictional material, which more suits his the pace of it. It's a bit slower, a bit more easygoing. But some good performances, particularly from Tony Leung as it. And from Ji Zhang as this rival leader of another kung fu group. The performances are good. The cinematography is stunning. It got an Oscar nominee for it. It's incredible. The fight scenes are great.
Mm-hmm.
But just as a true story, it could have used a bit more punch. It's quite good. It's elegant, it's beautiful. If you're a Wong Kar-wai fan, you know what to expect.
So one of the things that the Weinstein Company did to it when they re-edited it, or got Wong Kar-wai to re-edit it himself for the US market, was that they changed around the order of some of the scenes. So it would be interesting to see how it differentiates from the original.
It'd be interesting to see. Certainly, they cut over 20 minutes.
Yeah, and added in some sort of explanatory panels and things. So, Harvey, just when you buy a movie, just leave it alone. If you like it enough to buy it, leave it alone.
All I'll say to that is, I've seen the full version of Snowpiercer, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the Harvey version if it ever surfaces, because I think it can only improve it. There we go.
That's the third film. That they've done that too. They did it with Grandmaster, they did it with Snowpiercer.
They didn't do it, they were going to do it.
They're going to do it,
yeah.
And there was another film as well they acquired. I can't recall what it was, but there was something else where if they weren't re-editing it, they were threatening it. And why, especially when the original cuts are out there being watched somewhere else and people can quite easily get their hands on them. So I just think it's the point of this, really. If it's not going to sell in one market, for God's sake, it'll sell somewhere else.
Well, the idea is that that shortening it and making it more digestible makes it more appeal more to the mainstream in America.
So basically, it's like process. It's the spam.
Well, yeah, but the idea is that the American audience won't go see a film with subtitles.
Oh,
so,
but then it's the international market that counts. Now,
but interestingly,
right?
Do we think that he's doing it also for serious publicity? I mean, there are probably films that would benefit from a bit of a Harvey controversy. You know, the name of the film gets out there, which to some degree maybe you wouldn't. It's free advertising in real terms.
Oh, yeah.
Then if he decides to leave it alone, then it's all this masterpiece, Alice Snowpiercer, that's been, you know, we can all see the original and then we're like, oh, didn't know Snowpiercer from a whole new ground 6 months ago or a year ago.
But the thing is, though, something like Snowpiercer, say, whatever you think about it, if it had been marketed the right way, it wouldn't have needed the Harvey Scissorhands tag.
But isn't that the point? They didn't touch it, though. And now people will get to see it. Well, it gets a cinema release on here.
But
the
it's
got, it's debatable.
But it's got a pretty much an art house release in the US, right?
Yeah.
But I don't understand why that is, because it's blockbuster-esque material. You've got Chris Evans, Tilda Swinton, John Hurt, big name cast.
But it may be because two reasons. One, what Lionel already said, that maybe it's quite a long film. It's a long enough film for an action kind of film in some places. It wasn't going to be a crossover. Two, because it's god awful.
Well,
that's all relative, and you're in a minority on that. I will point.
But I'm right.
This is why we do what we do, because we're all convinced we're right.
I happen to think Snowpiercer is a fine film. I don't get the hype, but I also don't think that it's god awful.
Get off the fence, now.
I enjoyed it while I watched it. I instantly forgot most of it.
Okay.
That's a sign
that's
it's a passable film.
Well,
you know?
That'll do. But
yeah.
I
take it. I do.
Yeah,
I beat Devil's Advocate a little bit. But
yeah,
there is a point where, you know, if you sell them, if the new gets sold to Harvey, you kind of know this is what you make the deal with the devil.
But then, yeah, I suppose it didn't, in the case of Snowpiercer, it didn't matter anyway, because it already made its money back twice over in South Korea before it went anywhere else.
And France. Because it's based on a French graphic novel,
yeah,
so it made quite a lot of money in France.
Well, if I look, the CGI's had to go away, it didn't cost a lot.
But then again, it's not going to matter this kind of thing anyway, because the first reviews are out today for Lucy, Luc Besson's film with Scarlett Johansson. And there are some people who are loving it, and there are some who absolutely tearing
Devin Farashi at Badass Digest, who can be controversial when he wants to be, but usually is pretty on the money with his reviews. He said that Lucy uses 0% of its brain.
Wow.
Which I thought was a particularly nice headline.
Funny, David Ehrlich called it one of the best films of the summer.
David Ehrlich loves Transformers 3, so I have a problem with some of the stuff.
He
has a lot of time for Transformers 3, and that...
He said it was one of the best films of the summer. He said Godzilla was the best, which I am big.
He wrote a very good piece on Godzilla where he called it the first post-human blockbuster.
Well, that's nonsense.
Yeah.
If it was post-human,
that's just
you wouldn't have Bryan Cranston or Juliette Binoche.
Also, it's just justifying his opinion on it.
Yeah.
Basically, I say this, so I'll backtrack my way through it.
We're still
exactly
waiting
right
for the first post-human blockbuster. I'd say there's a poster now.
Avatar 2, maybe.
In Cloverfield.
2 years' time, we'll get Planet of the Apes.
We can put hope.
Yep.
We can put hope.
Because this time around, it won't have a Charlton Heston type rocketing through time. So
it won't? You blew it up! You maniacs!
Yeah.
We were talking about films we watched. That's kind of segue nicely into nonsense, really.
Well,
again, this is why we do what we do.
We'll continue into nonsense, and plus it'll be what I watched. It's fun nonsense, but nonsense nonsense. I watched Aladdin again because I love Aladdin. I do watch Aladdin.
But
I
don't blame you.
Was bored and I was on my own and I was away from my wife, and so I wanted to watch something nice, and so I watched Aladdin.
Aladdin is nice. just kind of context here for me. Aladdin was the first film I saw this summer.
Oh, okay.
And it is.
Oh, you young kids. Anyway.
It is.
Santa Claus movie was the first movie I saw.
Sword of the
really?
Stone.
You see, there you go.
1951. No, it was a movie.
So you can have Disney all around, though.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
you
grew up with it.
Yeah.
I'm
I'm not as big a Disney fan as most, but
I
take it away.
But when they get it right, they really get it right.
They do.
And Aladdin, that was the first big film after Beauty and the Beast. And
yeah.
It really continues the...
It's a great
not
one,
quite one. A, yeah. They had the three biggies in 1990, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and Lion King.
And yeah, and if you can take Mermaid before that as well, as that part of that run, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You could almost argue the run started with that and the Great Mouse Detective. That was at least the film that proved that the studio was bankrupt. But I digress. Aladdin, fine film, not quite up there with Beauty and the Beast, but the animation is gorgeous. The songs are fun, and Robin Williams is a genie.
Yes.
I've only seen it once when it came out, and I haven't seen it since, but I do remember enjoying it.
Give it a rewatch. I'd strongly recommend it.
We'll see.
Yeah. If you take the whole New World sequence out of it, it is a significantly better film.
It's sappy, that's it, certainly. But, you know, the romance is there, so they kind of have to have a romance.
I think, you can say that. Like, you can take the song out of that Toy Story 2 with Alfred and Vincent.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
That's one of the highlights.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Again,
taking the contrarian. Taking the contrarian is not an argument.
Yeah, just saying yes, no, over and over again.
As Monty Python proved.
Yeah.
And we'll come to that later.
Yes.
This is an X argument.
This is an X argument. Yes.
Very good.
So, moving on to...
We're on form tonight.
Yeah. Moving on to movie news.
Oh, yes. Yeah, hang on a second.
Yeah. And
in the last 5 minutes, 11 more films have been released from Marvel. But we haven't started jumping over. Let's go ahead.
I sent around the list of the talking point topics for Stephen, but I had to start with something that will just make Philip's day. Jessica Chastain has dropped out of The Secret Scripture, Jim Sheridan's new film, to be replaced by Rooney Mara.
Okay, first of all, The Secret Scripture, tell me more.
The Secret Scripture, Jim Sheridan is doing is based on the Sebastian Barry novel. 2008 novel, which was adapted by the late Johnny Ferguson. So it's got Jack Rayner. Vanessa Redgrave plays a 100-year-old woman who's writing her memoirs about her time in a mental institution and or various different mental institutions in Ireland. And Jessica Chastain
was in a straitjacket.
Yeah, well, Jessica Chastain was set to play the younger version of Vanessa Redgrave. Now it's going to be Rooney Mara.
I certainly believe Chastain has a younger Vanessa Redgrave, but I think that that aside, Mara, I'm sure, is a fine replacement, a fine actress. My only hope would be that Chastain is dropping out to focus on Blonde.
Oh yes,
which is after Dominic's adaptation of Marilyn Monroe's life story.
Which is the Joyce Carol Oates novel, isn't it? That's by the kind of, I don't think it's a
non-biography,
but it's a fictional take on it.
Non-fiction novel,
yeah. I do want to see that. That's on my, like, it's not even being made yet, and it's already on my most anticipated list of films.
Dominic,
like, he's just the man.
For those of you who don't know, and you really should, the man...
You shouldn't even be listening
the
to
man
the
man made the assassination of Jesse James, and...
The underrated, just,
the
criminally
the
underrated criminal killing himself.
Yeah. And the also brilliant chopper.
Yes. But just for making the assassins just James alone, you should be venerated.
Yeah,
indeed.
So we like to see Jim Sheridan make films. We like to see films.
It's a little
meatier
as well than
set here
done the last while. So.
Yeah.
So maybe a return to form for Jim.
And that's a quality cast. Got Jeremy Irons in there as well.
That's on the cast alone, that's not good.
Yeah.
But then again, he had Daniel Craig, Rachel Weisz, and Naomi Watts for Dreamhouse. So who knows?
But back in Ireland, more familiar ground, maybe we should expect something a little better. Maybe.
We should expect it.
Yeah.
Whether we'll get it, that will
mean. Swiftly on from that news, and we've news of another Irish actor who's been cast in a new film. Jack Rayner's in that last one, but the news of Robert Sheehan is being cast alongside Lily Cole in The Messenger. So, the film follows Jack, a troubled young man who's been in and out of secure units for his entire life. So, again, it's another mental person.
There's a trend here this evening. We're talking about mental people and surrounded by mental people.
This is true.
Yeah, it's David Blair is directing, so he's cast Lily Cole and Jack Fox, Dave O'Hara, Tamsin Merchant, and now Robert Sheehan. So,
bright young things all.
Yep.
Right.
So he's
he can't muster up much more enthusiasm.
The producer is comparing it to The Sixth Sense, so...
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Who is the producer, anyway?
The producer is Terry Stone. So it's a big UK production.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well.
Good man, Robert.
Yeah, Robert moving back closer to home might help him, because the Mortal Instruments did not.
Nor did Season of the Witch.
Yeah.
I won't let anybody forget he was in that, because it's a horror film. It really is.
All right. Other news of an Irish actors being cast, and Eve Hewson is in talks for Spielberg's new film, the Cold War thriller that he's doing with Tom Hanks. So that's
good
pretty
for
good.
Her. Good for her.
Yep.
Good for Bonham Jr. although, mind you, I think she's pretty good in This Must Be the Place, which is an alright film.
Very odd film.
Yeah. I don't think we knew what to expect on that. But, you know, Paolo Sorrentino, we knew
it was
stylish, but yeah, it was a little bit out there.
She was in Enough Said as well. So.
She was, and I like Enough Said.
Yeah, so they're
a good film.
So she's going to star alongside Alan Alda, Amy Ryan, and Tom Hanks were the leads, and Billy Magnussen, and Mark Rylance. So this is, you know, that's it, and it's for Spielberg. So
you had me at Ryan and Alda.
Yeah, so it's based on the true story of CIA attorney James Donovan, who's finds himself in the middle of the Cold War when the CIA sends him to negotiate the release of Gary Powers, the pilot who was shot down over the Soviet Union. So
somebody wittily put on a comments thing on this story I've seen it earlier about Eve Hewson and Alan Tudyk. What do you two spoil? Okay,
ba-dum-tsh.
Sorry, I made you laugh.
But there is something a bit sort of cyclical about that. The daughter of the U2 star Bono in a film about a U2. It's,
you're stretching the gag here.
No, it's not a gag. I'm just saying.
You're right. It's not a gag. Cause I'm not laughing.
But for the love of God.
You're a fine form this evening.
Moving on to news on a better front than Philip, and Philip can't really make as much fun of it. Edgar Wright has picked something to do after falling out of Ant-Man. He's going to make Baby Driver his next movie.
They call me the Baby Driver.
The prequel to Drive, I'm hoping. a 7-year-old in a car.
A 7-year-old Ryan Gosling. I just had to high-five Jay for that. That's inspired. Well done.
Oh, those little scorpion jackets, the baby on it.
Oh, the merchandising alone.
Except, you know, of course,
there's
a kid without that. Ryan Gosling completely.
Oh.
Anyway, sorry.
Oh.
We know more Ryan Gosling than
yes,
we
do.
Yes, we do.
There's not a lot known about the particular plot of Baby Driver, only that he calls it a collision of crime, action, music, and sound.
It is a sequel to Drive, isn't it?
Isn't that every action to crime film?
Yeah. But, I mean, he knows how to frame action. That's one of the good things about Wright.
He does.
He also knows how to make films that are spectacularly overrated.
Well, I think it'd be fine so long as he just keeps Simon Pegg the heck away from him.
Mm. Do you think he will?
No. Nope.
He'd better.
I really
But he kept him away from Scott Pilgrim. That was a good movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
He can.
We'll see.
He'd better.
I'm going to non-commit, we'll see.
It'll be his first US based one.
Excellent. Good for him.
Yep. So, anyway, we'd like to see Edgar Wright do something anyway.
Indeed,
do something
indeed. You dust yourself off after the debacle of Ant-Man and you move on.
Because visually, he is a spectacular director.
Yeah, but I'd just like to see him deal with the script more substance. And when I say substance, I don't mean like the sugar-coated icing of Scott Pilgrim, as fun and all as it is.
Yeah, that is a joyride of a film.
Absolutely. But, as I say, substance is totally lacking.
So, the news that Jason was alluding to earlier, Marvel
yes.
and is there 11 movies. Marvel have released 5 new untitled movies starting July 27th, 2017 and running through until May 3rd, 2019. So they will have one in July of 2017, November of 2017, then July of 2018, November of 2018, and then May of 2019.
But hasn't that just been the release structure as it has been up until now?
Yeah, well, usually, for the last ones, they've been putting them towards the start and end of the summer. So you have... you had Captain America open in April, and you have Guardians now opening in August in America. So the bookending the summer. Mm-hmm. So this is putting it slap bang in the middle of summer, and in one case, booking the 4th of July weekend. So
I have a feeling I'll go to my grave with films stretched out into eternity from Marvel. Phase 11 at that stage. But I can't get excited about release dates being released, I have to say. I know the Comic-Con's coming up, and I presume they're going to announce the titles.
Yeah, so... Yeah, they probably will. Well, right now, Marvel's slate looks as dust. They have, in next week, they have Guardians of the Galaxy coming out. Then, May 1st, they have Avengers 2, Avengers Age of Ultron. Then, in July, they have Ant-Man. Then, 2016, May, summer, they have Captain America 3. July, they have Doctor Strange. And then, these five.
A lot of films. They seem to know what they're doing, though. So I expect a decent standard.
Yeah. So you can bet Thor 3 is going to be in there. Avengers 3 is going to be in there. Guardians 2. That takes up three of the slots, and then it's just what are the other two going to be?
Have they cast Doctor Strange yet? Because I keep seeing online petitions for Matthew Moody.
No, they haven't cast Doctor Strange that we know of. They may announce something at Comic Con. We do know that Scott Derrickson is going to direct it. That's as much as we know.
All I'm saying is, if they don't have Doctor Strange at one point saying, "I can walk," they've missed a trick.
Okay.
I could live with Scott Derrickson directing it.
So. Well, he is, so
yeah.
You'll have to.
All right. So it begins.
On to news closer to home. And we have a couple of things going on here. So Dublin is going to play host to a feminist film festival. Which is nice to see.
Find an inspiration as well.
Yes.
Yeah, the end of August. I'm waiting for the lineup. There's nothing being announced as of yet.
Well, they're still looking for shorts and people to contribute stuff to it. But it's an independent event, all the proceeds of which are going to go to a charity called Sasan, who are set up to help women in Nepal, so who are the victims of sex trafficking. So.
Seems like a worthy
call.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going
to say, well, can't wait to see the lineup.
Yeah, no, it's because there's a genuine feeling, and it has been bred out that women are underrepresented in the film industry at pretty much every level.
Yeah, and this will come as a shock to nobody.
No, but it's something that it does need to be addressed at, and highlighting it can only help. So.
Yeah, I'll definitely.
Also, on the news of the film festival front, Limerick.
More literary.
Yeah. this year, Limerick is the city of culture in Ireland, and so as part of that, they've set up a Film Limerick scheme, and they're looking for people to put forward pitches for films to be set in and around the city. And they will receive financing and all sort of industry support for those films. So
it's a good idea to kind of make films a little more regional, I suppose, Dublin-centric, I suppose.
That is a good idea, because when you think on Irish film, can you think of any Irish film set in an urban area outside Dublin?
Well, I suppose Ancelestis was Limerick, wasn't it?
The Gar. Mm.
The urban.
It was St. Galway, didn't it?
I don't know, I always think more Connemara myself. But Angela's Ashes, yeah.
Wasn't that Limerick?
Well, that was Limerick.
I don't know.
Yeah,
like
there's
a period piece.
Yeah.
If you think
true.
Of Urban Man.
Oh, contemporary, yeah.
And the new one, about Roy Keane, is going to be set in Cork. So.
About Roy Keane.
Rockland, yeah.
Daytime as well.
Yeah.
And about Roy Keane.
In short, yeah. So that was when he was a child playing for Rockland, the football team.
Well, you know me, I'm such a sporting chap.
Also the film with Kieran Pines appears was set in Cork. Cork City was a smaller town. It's a kind of horror film.
Kieran Pines horror film. I've not seen it.
That's kind of weird. I'll come back.
So yeah, there are. Dublin is because the film making industry in Ireland is centered around Dublin and Wicklow.
As is every other industry.
You tend to see and Wicklow as well, though. But you tend to see like Wicklow and Dublin. Primarily on screen, so it would be good to see more.
Yeah, I mean, even in Dublin City, there's only sections of it you see. Like, I mean, it's there. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's nice to see something unfamiliar. Mm-hmm. Even the little alien that's set here, like the little strange kind of thing. It rarely happens, but we can look up.
When I was in college in Limerick, I used to, because I wrote for the college newspaper about films, I used to go to cinema regularly. And before every single screening down there, there was this 2-minute short promoting Limerick as, you know, just a good place. And it was Isos Limerick Me. So it was like, I'm from Limerick. And it was all these people basically saying that they were from Limerick. And it wasn't great now. But hopefully this will be better.
Well, we can hope.
And,
I think getting film outside of Dublin is always good. I would personally recommend County Mayo. No reason.
The Wild Atlantic Way, yeah.
We're very proud of the Wild Atlantic Way, I'll have you know.
That short that the Irish Tourist Board has before the films that are on at the moment about the Wild Atlantic Way. It's stunning looking, though. It is.
Yeah, but I don't know. Just tourist board advertising. It's always people smiling. And they never talk about the practicalities of going on. Like, you know, when you've lost your passport or your hotel has lost your booking. Sorry, I'm playing far too much.
Philip, you understand how marketing works, right? You show the good things.
Clearly.
For your own knowledge, the horror film is called The Eclipse and it's directed by Conor McPherson. Well worth a watch. Some really very jumpy scenes.
Actually, something set in an urban area outside of Dublin is that one that you reviewed about the teacher in Nina.
Yes.
That's a good review.
It was, I liked it. tell you, David.
Oh dear.
I can see it. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Trampoline,
yes.
Yes.
Trampantoline, I think it's deep.
Anyway, the Film Limerick scheme is being run by Behind the Scenes. You can find information on that on behindthescenes.ie, and it's open until the 1st of September. So we encourage people to make Limerick look lovely, because, you know, you'll have your work out for you there.
Oh.
I spent 4 years living in the city, I can say that.
You were clearly adhering to the cliche.
We want to kind of distance ourselves from that, put up on that particular remark.
Indeed, I've never been to it.
No.
I know, you should go. They've cleaned up a lot since I left.
Because you left?
I don't know. The two things, you know, it's post-hoc ergo prompter hoc. It's not necessarily related, but it might well be.
Shall we move on?
We will move on to the box office top 10.
Yay.
And so, at number 10 in our box office, what have we got?
We have
Boyhood, our favourite.
Does anybody have any strong opinions on this one?
No. I think we've said everything we need.
We have,
to
we really
about,
have. It's expanded this week. That's all we should acknowledge.
Yes, that's
still there.
That proverbial horse. Yes, seems to
take it. You've beaten it to a bloody pulp. There's nothing left.
It's a horse's head in the bed.
No, it's not. It's a gilded. It's a gilded statue of a horse. It's doing well without you.
Yes, it is.
At least in the critics.
Yeah. It seems to be doing... Yeah, okay. I haven't heard its chances.
It's dropped from the 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's now
99%. Who was it?
There
who
are
is?
Two contrary.
Good. Good. I must read them.
Yeah.
The thing is, we should point out, it's not that we don't like the film. We do. We just think it could be a lot better.
Yeah.
There are think pieces will be written on Boyhood for quite a while. So both good and bad. It's
mostly good, though, I'm sure. Personal reaction. This moved me.
But one of the things it is, and it's connecting to a film is no bad thing.
No.
And if you find a reason to go to the cinema, for any reason to go to the cinema, that is a good thing, because that encourages more of these types of films, right? We want more Boyhoods. Because for what is attempted there, because there's an artistry there, for what they're trying to do, we want more Boyhoods.
Absolutely.
We want less Transformers and more Boyhoods. And so,
hey, Transformers is coming up later on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, at number 9 in the charts is The Fault in Our Stars. Five weeks in the charts now, probably in this last 1. Week.
1.3 million.
Not bad.
No.
12 million budget, 249 million worldwide. That's a dream ticket, isn't it?
Bravo,
I mean,
Fox, bravo.
You give the executive who greenlit that and had in the back of the bonus, don't you? I mean,
well, not really, because you could see the success.
But
already a very popular.
Well, they didn't, because they reduced the budget dramatically a couple of times to get rid of. They passed on a number of directors because the directors were going to be too expensive. They had a very specific target for where this film was going to come in, because they didn't know that it was going to do so well. Because you can have you have Divergent or The Mortal Instruments, or you have The Golden Compass and all these other films that are based on young adult novels that don't do that well, you know, and have much bigger budgets.
Yeah.
So
you know what, that encourages me, because it goes to show that this kind of material can work, and it doesn't have to be fantasy based.
The Fault in Our Stars is a fine film, and it's well acted, but it's not a good film.
It's not made for Jay.
It's an adequate film. It's perfectly watchable. It's a perfectly diverting way to spend
time.
I would
take an adequate film over another chapter of the Mortal Instruments. Anyway.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that The Way Way Back, which came out last year, or The Kings of Summer, which came out from last year, or the other one that's like The Fault in Our Stars, which has Shailene Woodley in it as well,
Spectacular Now,
was a better film. So the three of those are better films, but they didn't go to see it. The same audience didn't go to see them, even though in the case of Spectacular Now, they're telling us a similar type of story. I mean, it's not about cancer sufferers, it's about
alcoholism.
Yeah, so he's a little less sympathetic because he is the cause of his own demise, but
one reason for this, though. The lead character, played by Shailene Woodley, in The Fault in Our Stars, is very much the focus of the film, whereas the focuses of the other three films you mentioned, they're all young males.
That is true.
This is doing what we've been talking about in previous podcasts. It's appealing to a market that might feel underrepresented.
Which is the teenage girl.
Exactly. I mean, this is made specifically for them. Like, you know, if they have a boyfriend, they can make a deal. I'm dragging you to Transformers. Okay, fine. I'm dragging you to Fault in Our Stars. It's a trade-off.
I'll tell you, you need to get a new partner either way.
You're
a teenager, you don't care.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you will watch
anime. You won't even be watching the movie.
Although if the film I watched last night, What If you're stuck in that friend zone, then being dragged to the film would be the worst type of torture because you're not getting any payoff whatsoever. At 8, Monty Python Alive, which I went to, on Friday. It was spectacular.
Yeah,
but it's right into the top 10.
Yeah.
I'm Spanish Inquisition on this. I didn't expect.
I didn't think of it in that regard. I kind of forgot it was in the cinema, and then I was like, oh, we never got to see it. And it was like somebody told me it was on TV. It was like, excellent set in. A couple of whiskeys. Shed a tear.
And then they bleeped it.
Oh, that was idiotic. It was a watershed thing. And
they showed it last night on
Bleeped. Yeah, on the basically got to the kind of interval, which I did from perfectly ended at 9 o'clock. So when it came back, then it was sans bleeped. Which is good, so we can actually enjoy the.
Yeah, because some of the stuff is, you know, it's funny, but it's vulgar, but it's hilariously funny. It is vulgar. There's songs about various members of the male and female anatomy.
Yeah,
all together now.
Yes,
It's great fun though. I mean, I had so much fun with it. I think the Chinese song could have been left in the '70s, but. But aside from that, everything else worked. It was good fun, very funny, very nostalgic, very moving.
And
a fine farewell.
Yes, a fitting farewell for the greatest comedy troupe.
It is an
ex-comedy. It's pining for fjords.
Anyway.
At 7... And the second week, Begin Again, down 31%. So
not a big drop.
No, it's doing okay. It is. It's 60,000. I'm not sure what the kind of expectation is on this.
Well, based on the basis of the leads, it will be expected to do
a bit more.
250, 300 cumulative, you know. If it was like once, they'd be looking at 700,000-800,000, but they're not. Possibly a million, but it doesn't have that same Irish appeal. It has an Irish director, but
the trailer saw it. It's a little generic.
Sweet.
It's solid numbers.
It's sweet.
Solid numbers for a sweet little film.
Yeah. At 6.
Jesus.
Pudsey the Dog, the movie.
I don't even where to begin.
Donald Clark in the Irish Times gave this 2 stars, and that was the most generous review I could find.
Hmm.
It's about it's a story about the dog that won Britain's Got Talent.
A dog won Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah, it's a scripted. Yeah, it's
good
a scripted,
God,
it's a scripted
away
story.
From
Britain's
Got Talent.
Oh,
that's a good
and
move.
Stay well away from
it. With the dog voiced by David Walliams.
Oh, God.
So
the way that could have been worse if they got Cowles instead.
Ronan Keaton. Like,
how did this make money?
Don't ever mention that again.
Somebody explain to me how this made 19,000
kids.
Euros.
Kids. You're marketing it to kids.
Sorry,
as a kids movie based on Britain's Got Talent, you're going
to
get it.
Don't. What you do is you sit your kid down and tell them you're going to come see that. Instead, we're going to watch this and put on
the Lego movie came out on DVD
the
over the weekend.
Yeah,
so
that's what you should be watching.
There we go. Act 5, Andre Rieu in concert.
God.
So apparently this made 70,000 euro from no screens.
That's impressive, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely know I played in Dundrum, so...
Dundrum would make sense, because it appears he pretty much owns Sky Arts too, where he kind of lies his trade 24 hours a day, essentially.
Now, we've seen things before where live broadcasts of plays and musicals, opera, they get in into the top 10, and that's fine. Andre Rieu is a different story. It's like Andrea Bocelli. It's like the everyman's everyman's classic.
Is Andrea Bocelli popular in Spain? I would imagine he probably is, yeah?
Why?
Local heroes generally tend to be popular.
Italian?
Is he Italian? Right, so wherever he's from. Is he popular in Italy? I would imagine he is. Andre Rieu, I live in Holland. He is not popular in Holland.
I don't know who likes him.
Yeah.
My
wife's grandmother likes
him
quite a lot.
This is the kind of people it appeals to.
One wonders why Daniel O'Donnell doesn't do it.
The Daniel O'Donnell movie would do really well.
It really would.
Yeah, especially if he turned up.
Mrs. Brown's boy movie going up. What the hell did I get into?
Well, that's if he did a cameo in Mrs. Brown and then transitioned into his own film.
I don't know.
I like to think even Daniel O'Donnell has a bit more dignity.
I don't know if anybody saw a film a long time ago called How to Cheat the Leadership.
I heard about it.
I saw it and I did a review of it earlier on my blog a few years back, but it's shot in black and white, and it's great fun. It's very low budget, but a really good fun. But has one of the great, and I mean the great cameos in Irish history, Christopher.
No.
He is brilliant. More likely find a clip. The whole building.
Are you actually suggesting we sneak out a clip of Christopher?
It's a great...
Not bloody likely.
It's a great clip, and he is very good in the couple of minutes. You know, I am not joking. I won't tell you about it. Just watch.
As a Bill Bailey fan, my gut says no.
Watch it. I can assure you, you'll laugh.
Okay.
There you go.
Anyway, Andre Rieu, concert movie, Act 5 in the charts. So, I mean, it's nice to see arts in the charts.
No,
that's not art. That's
man,
populist
nonsense. Yeah, I'm afraid.
I'll happily acknowledge any composer he's playing, but again, Andre Rieu, he's just a name that has risen above the craft.
Diet Coke of concerts.
Exactly.
At 4, and is How to Train Your Dragon 2. Now, I went to see this again over the weekend. I was in Manchester, and I went to the IMAX. It's a full IMAX that they have in Manchester, not like the one that's here. It's
IMAX.
And it's spectacular. It is spectacular on
the IMAX
screen. The IMAX is spectacular, but How to Train Dragon 2 is awesome. It's wonderful. It's in my top 5 of the year. I love it. I know
2 million, pretty good.
Yeah, it's just glorious to behold. And it's sad and uplifting, and it's everything that needs to be. Yes, it has problems, and our close friend Mr. Neary, he reviewed it and he expounded on all of the problems. I'm willing to overlook nearly all of them, though, so, because I just had such a good time watching it.
Good enough.
Yep. At 3 is Transformers Age of Extinction.
Oh.
A film that has so many problems I'm not willing to overlook, because it is just utter rubbish.
And it has made just almost as much as How to Train Your Dragon 2 in half the time.
Yep.
That's sad.
And inevitable.
Yes, that too.
That's not waste of
breath. Well, the one hope that we have for it is that springboards Jack Rayner's career into something.
Jack, you can do better.
Although, Glassland is coming soon.
That's true, and the initial wordman from Broadway was great.
Yeah,
and he's going to be a secret scripture. So, yeah.
True.
Yeah, it's just
like this would be like for him what Batman and Robin was for George Clooney. Not good, but it did springboard the
Gets your name out there. Well, in fairness, he also had Delivery Man with Vince Vaughn, which was not good, and Get Your Name Out There as well.
Did he?
He had only a small part.
Yeah,
he did.
I think you can pretty much bury that in the CV if you want.
Simon Delaney was in it too, as Vince Vaughn's brother.
Now, yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, there we go. Now,
oh, Simon, come on. I still remember Back to the Bachelor's Walk Days.
Yes.
You're better than that.
At two, and there's everything is better than this, Mrs. Brown's Meister Movie.
Which is on the cusp of knocking the Lego Movie off the top spot of the films of the art box office.
It's a juggernaut. It's an absolute juggernaut, isn't it?
It's a lot of things. A juggernaut is just one.
Now, hang on a second. You were talking about the Fault in Our Stars aiming towards a market that's underserved.
It is aiming towards that underrepresented market. So, again, kudos, as we said before, kudos for acknowledging
if
that.
These
just everything else is a problem.
If these numbers hold, it had a 43% drop, so it took 171,000 this week. If these hold, it'll fall short of beating Michael Collins as the most successful Irish film of all time at the Irish box office. Has to get to the 5 million.
I don't see it.
I don't see that.
Michael Collins made £4.2 million.
So about 5.
So
I saw Michael Collins
a couple
of times. Anyway.
But you know what? It'll definitely make it once the DVD sales hit.
Yeah,
but in terms of cinema tickets, no.
I doubt it.
It did look, before the release and on the opening figures, it did look like it could threaten, not only threaten Michael Collins, but threaten Avatar as the biggest movie of all time. But that's €7 million, so that's quite a long way.
It's nearly halfway there,
yeah.
But as you say.
So Mrs. Brown's Boy is the movie only half as good as Avatar.
I think you'll be okay.
At one, straight in at the top.
Hail Caesar!
Yeah, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Thank goodness. I couldn't take another week of her at the top. Make your own gags.
So,
no.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is a good summer blockbuster.
It's solid. It's exactly
what we're looking for in the summer. A big, bombastic, but actually got a proper story and believable characters.
It has a proper story.
Although all the believable characters are apes and monkeys, the human characters are sidelined completely.
Yeah, I would say that the script it's not the film's strongest asset, but it has a bit more smarts than most blockbusters, so we give it that.
It also has the scene of the summer, the single tracking shot from the top of the tank.
Yeah, I've heard this a few times. No.
1,000 takes, 1,000 versions, iterations of that went through the computer. Over 1,000.
I don't care. Reeves did a better version of it and let me in.
He didn't do it this summer, did he?
No.
So it's still the single best shot this summer.
Single best shot this summer. That's an interesting idea. What's think about that?
Is this a digital shot?
This is a digital shot.
Larger, yeah.
Yeah. No, but he still had to visualize it. He still had to know what it was going to look like. There are some.
It's one of the apes commandeering a tank.
There's an exquisite digital shot in How to Train Your Dragon 2, which is one continuous pan, and you can feel Deakins in it because Deakins was an advisor to the cinematographers on How to Train Your Dragon 2. But it's one continuous tracking shot down through the action. You couldn't do it. With real
cameras. Isn't that the point, though? Isn't it? Surely, for me, a tracking shot is something you actually can do with a camera. The rest is just digital manipulation of saying.
Yeah.
So,
well, you see,
call me old fashioned, but I'm not sure I count it. I think it's two separate categories.
No, I would count the one in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes because it's just a little digital manipulation to what are otherwise real world elements. You have somebody who is doing the motion capture of the ape on top of the tank.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, I'll have to see.
One thing about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which it did over Rise was all shot by motion capture against green screen. I mean, for Dawn, they brought it out. They did it in the real world.
Okay.
And so they set up cameras all around to capture the motion, but they did it against with the trees and all there, you know, in real, in situ. So, and which has just become possible. The technology has just become possible. This is like Cameron level stuff.
Don't say that.
I will say this, and this is something that people have been whispering about ever since the Two Towers came out. There has to be some kind of award recognition possible for Andy Serkis in this. He's incredible.
But it's not an acronym, is it?
It should be.
It is, though.
It is, though.
What's the difference between acting behind prosthetics and acting behind a digital projection?
I mean, it is just another level of prosthetics, isn't it?
Yeah, it's digital prosthetics.
But prosthetics nonetheless.
If he did that same performance while in a suit, or while dressed as a monkey.
I'm not 100% convinced of this. I'll have to see the film, obviously.
So, anyway, we will move on from the box office top 10, which is not. It's an eclectic bunch. We have two live performances in there, which is rare. And on to what's out this week.
Yeah, so...
Which is also an eclectic mix.
Yeah. Say the least.
So, we're going to open up with the big movie of the week. The big movie of the week is Hercules, starring The Rock, or Dwayne Johnson, as the titular demigod.
Yeah, but... What you're overlooking there is, okay, Hercules played by The Rock, good. Hercules directed by Brett Ratner, good grief, how are your children?
The embargo on reviews seems to have been lifted today from what Twitter told me, and most people are saying it's okay.
Yeah, I've heard average to good things, and nothing beyond.
They're smart enough.
Yeah. The expectation level was rock bottom.
Yeah,
so
anything beyond,
not pun intended.
Anything better than a catastrophe.
That's it. It's World War Z thing. You know, the expectation level was awful, then it turned out to be not awful, therefore it is good. No, it's just not awful.
The bar would have been set by Rennie Harlan's Legend of Hercules, which came out earlier this
That's
year.
Appalling. That is utter rubbish.
So it's not as bad as that.
No.
But that's a start.
No, you see, that's the thing. Well, it can't be as bad as that, because that was... Oh, God, that was awful. Because that wasn't a Hercules movie. What that was 300. That was what it was trying to be. And it's just dreadful. Every single moment I was watching that, I wanted to stop.
And it's got a lot of other good elements as well. The Rock... can be a very charismatic.
He's a movie star. Not the world's greatest actor, but God love him, he is
a
star.
They're smart enough to be surrounded him with John Hurt and Ian McShane.
There you go.
That's thinking.
John Hurt and Ian McShane, I'd like to see a version of Grumpy Old Men with the two of them.
I just want them in every film.
Yeah.
Especially if Ian McShane is playing Alice Ferrick.
John Hurt.
It's a Deadwood movie.
Yes.
Come on.
John Hurt, Ian McShane, Malcolm McDowell,
not
and Terrence Stamp. That's my movie. I want the four of them in the film.
I was hoping you were going to tell me they were in it as well.
No,
I would be there.
This looks like classic summer fodder, doesn't it? I mean,
oh yeah, it's Brett Ratner.
Yeah,
it's going to be awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
The best we can hope for is that it's passively awful.
And no, it's not going to be huge. It's certainly not.
I suspect not.
No, but it's The Rock punches a lion. You know, so there is that. He also wrestles a hydra.
I'm glad there's wrestling in there for the kids.
Last time I recall with the Hydra in it was Clash of the Titans. I don't need that again.
Captain America 2, Hail Hydra.
That doesn't count.
Let's move on.
Yes, nice, sweet children's film called Earth to Echo. So
interesting. I keep hearing comparisons to E.T.
Yeah,
in terms of the story. Not necessarily in terms of quality.
Kid goes, finds an alien. Alien wants to go home. Story sound familiar?
Yeah.
And I did a little bit of reading up this day. Disney sold the distribution rights.
Yes.
There was a bit of cold feet about it, I would imagine.
Yeah, the numbers haven't been great.
No, Disney decided that this really wasn't what they wanted to have their name attached to, so they decided to ship it off. But it's still a nice little, sweet little film. It's perfectly passable entertainment for kids, and you can have them watch this and then have them watch E.T. So, watch this, then see how it's done better.
See if the bother just show them E.T.
I know. But if you want, you know, if kids of their age have gone to see it, and you can show them that, and then you can show them the superb E.T., you know. E.T. came out the year of my birth, and therefore it is intricately linked to my being. I love E.T.
You know what? I would understand that. I love
it. I didn't like him as a kid. Like I didn't really. It didn't make me cheer for E.T.
I say I love it, but then again, I certainly don't think it's one of Spielberg's.
No, I think he's done a lot better.
Oh, he has. But
I get why people love it. Yeah, I just love it. I don't think it's that Spielberg streak that I put to it. But anyway,
that said, though, it's a cold hearted person who doesn't have a smile if you hum that John Williams theme.
It's a point, Dave. That's a great thing.
I was watching clips from Star Wars the other day, and I was trying to think, would it be possible, would Star Wars have been as successful without John Williams' team? I don't think it would have been. That
George Lucas wanted to use classical music, already existing classical music, like Dvorak and Holst. So,
like
the music would
Battle
have been
of the Planets. He wanted to be that literal.
Like the planets.
Yeah,
the
planets sweet.
Well, yeah, except if you use something, I say... Well, the theme for Darth Vader,
the Imperial March.
Imperial March. That is, it's essentially just Mars, the God of War, from the planet of Sweet. Really. But it sounded bloody great.
Yeah, no, Williams' score is iconic, so, and for E.T. it was too.
Yeah.
Moving on to
yes.
Joe, because I'm going to skip that one because I don't know what the hell it is. Joe, so.
Yeah.
We have.
Nicolas Cage, an intentionally good film alert.
Yes, love Nicolas Cage.
David Gordon Green has put down the bomb
and
made an actual film.
Now, that said, I liked Prince Avalanche.
I really liked Prince Avalanche.
I liked it a lot.
Let me tell you something, right? This is where
getting.
Hold
on, this is not James being right again.
This is what happens.
Or righteous, he's one or the other.
It's both. When we were talking, you were talking earlier about Hercules and World War Z and how. People expected nothing, and then David Gordon Green makes these idiotic films
like Pineapple Express,
yeah,
and
making serious films beforehand. He's made these films, then everybody's going, "This is the filmmaker he is." He pulled some note that isn't quite that, and people go, "Oh, he's back to his roots. This is great." I'm sorry, it's not. It's
now,
an average film.
This is Prince Avalanche we're talking about, not Joe. Okay.
No, this story is Prince Avalanche.
Yeah, I like Emile Hirsch, and I generally
the two
don't
are
like
good.
Him.
I know the two of them in it together. They're good, and they interact very well. But it's an average American indie that you've seen a million times. I watched it. It's like, really, they're claiming this story.
No, I'm not claiming it's any kind of masterpiece, but I did enjoy it. It is lightweight stuff. Even though it would wish to be something more.
Yes.
But it is quite enjoyable.
It was okay. That's the best. The critical acclaim for it, that's...
For you, Jay, I would take okay.
I'm not okay, it's okay, and I was fine with that. And I watched his earlier films, and I liked them from back in the day, George Washington and...
All the Real Girls.
All the Real Girls is good.
Like, he's clearly has something as a filmmaker. And from what I've heard of Joe, it's very interesting. I don't know if you've read the Gary Poulter story, the actor director that starred it. It's well worth reading. It's a big long article on it. He was a homeless guy that he actually passed. And he died just before it was released, I think. But it's a really interesting story of how he got him into the film and how apparently he's really, really good. Just a one-off. He apparently was a kind of extra in the 80s when he was younger before problems came up. But well, Nick's case was supposed to be acting, which is always a good thing.
Yes.
So I am a huge Nick Cage fan. I am a Nick Cage completist. I've seen every single film that
I've
seen.
All of them.
Yes,
I'm a huge Nick Cage fan. I
have to ask, besides, out of the critical acclaim, say the bad ones, what's your favorite?
Of the bad ones?
Yeah.
I don't know, what's considered bad?
Tell us which ones you like.
I'll tell you what one I like.
I like lots of them. I like Lord of War.
Vampire's Kiss.
That's on the borderline.
Yeah.
Lord of War is great.
Yeah.
Lord of War is excellent.
Yeah, okay.
But Vampire's Kiss, it is nonsense. But just to see him running down the street, I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! It's one of the greatest joys
I've ever had. I like Sorcerer's Apprentice.
All the time.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So.
I've seen it twice.
I've never seen it, but I always feel so sorry for Sorcerer's Apprentice because it came out in 2010, and I remember the weekend it came out, it was up against Inception. It hadn't a hope.
Yikes.
Oh,
but I can see, I'm huge Nicolas Cage fan. What about the remake of Wicker Man?
That's great.
I've seen it, but
it is
a dreadful film.
But it's fun.
Yeah.
It is fun.
Although, what I can't recommend to anybody because, as such a huge fan of the original,
the bees!
it almost makes Edward Woodward seem bad. Because that's clearly what he was going for. He clearly watched Evan Woodward in the original, and when he finds out the truth, he goes, oh God! Oh Jesus Christ! And he was clearly going for something similar when he goes, not the bees! Not the bees! And it just got the brother going, stupid! And fun. Nick, just stop it. Stop yelling and everything. Be quiet, Nick. Just be quiet.
He's great. Don't be quiet, Nick.
Do what the you man do. Keeps snakes and lizards as pets. He doesn't know what quiet
and
is.
And he named his son Kal-El.
Kal-El.
Good
yes.
enough.
Yep.
Oh.
He's a huge Superman fan.
Of course. But he almost did it in that...
yeah, with Tim Burton.
Miserable. Whatever that was done on the book. So I see Kevin Smith.
Kevin
yeah.
Smith wrote... Tim Burton directed Superman.
I don't know.
Oh God, it'd be dreadful.
I don't think I could.
Doesn't matter. We just know that whether he's played by Nick Cage or Henry Cavill, Warner Brothers just do not know how to handle this character.
This is true.
That's all right.
Well,
it's
not.
It's Zack Snyder.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yes. Anyway, let's move on.
Moving on. So I'll go back to House of Magic, which is one I skipped because I know nothing about it.
Jay, what do you know?
They've been released pretty much any animated film these days.
Yes,
no matter what it is.
I got a note about this in my inbox. And I just saw the animation and the level of it, and oh dear, it's another Postman Pat or whatever lazily animated crap that can churn out these days. Isn't it? Is there anybody in this that we know?
No, I didn't look through. I looked through past the names. No, it didn't get released. I couldn't tell.
Right, we'll skip that. So, and do it. So, a film that is
definitely
promises to fulfill the promise of the original, but doesn't seem to, is The Purge Anarchy.
Mm. I like the conceit of this. It's interesting.
I don't think it bears too much scrutiny, but I think
it doesn't. No, but just on it, yeah. when you pitch it at first, which is clearly what they must have done with the executive. One night a year, all crime is legal. Okay, fine.
Yeah,
just don't think the practicalities of that when The Purge ends.
Did we see the first one?
I didn't because
Stephen Hawke, it's a home invasion.
Yeah,
exactly. That's as soon as I saw that trailer, I just thought, okay, interesting idea, but you just reduce it to a home invasion.
Also, the problem is that if you watch the first one, how casual they are about everything belies the fact that crime is legal for one night, including murder. It's like, oh yeah, we should lock this up in a few minutes, shouldn't we?
You would be planning that for weeks.
I wouldn't have left the house. Then you come back from work that evening. It's like you wouldn't even have left the house. You'd have locked the whole thing down for the whole day.
Yeah,
it's
you,
like car
you
breaks
would...
down or something, and then you find out the sequel. That's what happened. It's the car breaks down. Because of course it does. Because hang on a second, the first one, they had somebody idiotically driving with it. Second one, you know what? The car broke down. Hey, there's the sequel.
You would have like. Redneck amount of supplies.
And he's like, and he works for the security company, doesn't he? In the first, I think that installs the security.
Yeah, exactly.
And stuff it sucks. The stuff he has in this place. It's like, get better stuff. You're working. Oh God!
And don't let your kids open it to let people in.
Yeah, oh.
it's a nonsense.
Oh.
I mean, I
don't
mind the first 40 minutes. Whatever, it's the best part, but it gets worse after that. Amazing.
So there was
the sake of screaming at Linda Heady in films. Just saying, please make better choices of scripts.
Well, no, they never did.
She was in Dread.
She was good in Dread.
Yes,
she was good in Dread. I must say. But
like
then
Dread.
Again, she was in 300 and two. So
yeah, I've seen Game of Thrones.
She is.
That is true.
That is true. I am.
At least you can watch me choices.
Yes.
Midnight.
Yes, indeed.
So yeah, so that mean the Purge Anarchy. It
does improve on the first by all accounts.
I'm sure that's what we. That's to me. Yeah, that's
what
we
want. You can hope for, really.
I won't be hoping for someone to see it. But, yeah, I mean, for people that are going to put themselves through this again, if it's better than the person, then I guess, yeah.
Then, one which is showing in limited release, the last film of the week, is Who is Diane Cristal?
That's, yeah, a little bit about the same.
Diane Cristal, it sounds like something in Indiana Jones.
It's a documentary set in... I think it's Mexico. It's basically this, somebody goes missing... It's a kind of migrant worker goes missing, and it's Gabriel Garcia Bernal and this documentary team trace the path that he took and meets all sorts of people that he would have met along the way. I'm not sure if it's a full documentary or if there's kind of, you know, if it's a drama within it. It's kind of hard to tell for me to read about it today. But it sounds intriguing enough as a story. Other than that, I don't know a lot about it.
Reviews have been polite.
Yeah.
It won the Cinematography Award at Sundance last year.
I'm always suspicious about Sundance Awards for some reason.
I don't know. I think you suspect it's populist.
Well, I think it's, you know, that the one that, you know, Weinstein's putting $5 million on, then it comes out with crap, and you go, what is wrong with you? Obviously, it's come from Sundance.
I don't know, anyway. Well, it's a documentary, so...
Yeah, no, that's fair. Actually,
and
yeah, that should be interesting.
Jael Garcia Bernal is
indeed.
A... Yeah, he's good. I like watching.
No, he is good.
No, he's a good actor.
Yeah.
All that said, I'm still trying to forget that hasn't been the pattern. Him and Diego Luna wasted.
I didn't hate that. And I fully expected to hate that.
I'd have hated it if I'd stayed awake.
There was weirdness in it I liked. It wasn't enough of it.
No, there certainly wasn't.
But there was bits of it I was like,
you know,
I'm on board instead of lost crap.
Do you know how funny I found it? If they could have actually played it straight, most of that dialogue.
Yeah.
I think it's more of the Will Ferrell can be convincing drum had a character.
Agreed. I didn't hate it. But anyway, it's something I'd ever watch it again.
Yeah, same here.
So there's been some news of what's been announced for various different film festivals that are coming up. So we know that Inherent Vice, which is one of the films we're most excited about this year, is going to open at New York Film Festival. We suspected it might be Toronto, but no, it's actually going to New York. And we also know what the opener of the London Film Festival is going to be as well. So Philip is looking at going to see to that.
I am hoping to now. Thing is, when I arrive, I always miss the opening film in the last couple of years. The opening film this year is The Imitation Game, which is based on the story of Alan Turing, the
yes.
man who helped decipher Enigma, the German's code during World War II.
Also considered to be the founder of modern computers.
True.
The inventor of the Turing test, which determines whether or not an AI is sentient. So, yeah.
Turing is played by Benedict Cumberbatch, who also stars Kieran Knightley, and is directed by Morten Tilden, who directed Headhunters, which I know Jay is a big fan of.
Oh, God.
From the trailer, I get a very Tinker Tailor vibe from it.
It has that look.
Has that look, and just like Tinker Tailor, it's hired a Scandinavian director in Gotten All Moody and True to Life and Grimm and whatever, and remains to be seen if it will actually not be deathly dull, because we've had another film based around the story of Enigma before. It's called Enigma. Boring!
Yeah.
Right,
I remember it being.
Benedict Cumberbatch is significantly better than Dougray Scott.
not a huge amount, I would say, in some ways, but.
I don't know. I keep confusing Dougray Scott and Jeremy Norton. Am I the only one?
No.
Okay.
But
I like Jeremy Norton.
Me too.
Dougray Scott's the one who's in Mission Impossible 2.
Oh,
and was almost Wolverine.
Silly man.
Also, we know what's going to show at TIFF. Well, we know a lot of what's going to show at TIFF.
Yes.
The Toronto International Film Festival.
I did wander through the films today, and I picked up three that actually kind of jumped out at me quite a bit.
Foxcatcher?
I didn't know. I discounted Foxcatcher in Toronto because they're at Cannes.
Yeah.
I definitely want to see them. Yeah.
American,
I mean, they look great.
They do.
Mr. Turner, actually, I think, if I was back in some of the Best Picture Oscars, I think I might have a chance.
Well, this is based on, we haven't seen him.
No, I just want to hear about it. Yeah.
It looks stunning.
And Lee, it's just, when he's on form at that, things
really
are great. But the three I kind of looked at that I like to look at was one that's called 99 Homes with Michael Shannon and Andrew Garfield. And the director of it, Ramin Bahrani, made the brilliant Chop Shop about a decade and a half ago. It's an absolutely wonderful film. So I'm hoping for kind of, he hasn't made a film for years, so I'm really looking forward to that. The other one is the new Andrew Niccol film. It was always uneven, but always interesting.
Very uneven.
Called Good Kill with Ethan Hawke. It plays a guy that basically uses drones to target people and starts getting weirded out by it. Which sounds very interesting.
It sounds interesting, but as you say, this is from the guy who gave us Gattaca and the War, but he also gave us the Hulk.
Yes, he did.
And In Time.
Yeah. I mean, when he's good, and he wrote True to Show.
He wrote The Truman Show, so for that he'll almost always get a free pass.
And the last but not least of the three that I saw was, and I think the trailer's just being released, is Miss Julie, the Liv Ullmann film.
Yes, with
Jessica
Chastain,
Colin Farrell, and Samantha Moore.
And shot in Northern Ireland.
Yeah. In Fermanagh, yeah.
I have to see the trailer, I haven't seen it yet, but those three jumped out at me, particularly in the lineup, so it looks pretty good, plus the cannons.
So yes, the Imitation Game, which is opening in London, is also playing in Toronto.
Oh, okay.
So... that we have a number of other films. So there's some of the big ones. We have Foxcatcher,
which is
Bennett Miller's. It is the provisional Oscar favorite. Toronto for the last three years has given the Best Picture winner. So it's generally where Oscar films tend to land. We also have Antoine Fuqua's The Equalizer, the adaptation of the TV show.
Why
did Tommy join the freaking Equalizer?
Hello.
So Antoine Fuqua, Denzel Washington, it is a big film.
It's any better than that moment in Wall Street or DNA.
It also has one of the most confused sounding films I've heard about in a long time, which is The Judge. Robert Downey Jr. defending
a judge,
in an accidental death case, vehicular manslaughter. But the problem is, the judge is his father.
Yeah, and it's Robert Duvall.
What's it going for? Comedy? Drama?
It sounds like adaptation. You know when McDonald Coffin is explaining his
three stories. It could well be.
It's directed by David Dobkin, who made The Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, I know. Also playing from Cannes is Maps to the Stars, David Cronenberg's film with Julianne Moore.
Yes.
Also, other interesting ones, there's Edward Zwick's Pawn Sacrifice.
Yes, I am very interested in this.
This is Bobby Fischer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I would be.
It's Tobey Maguire as well. So.
And Lee Schreiber.
It's a good cast, but it smacks too much of Oscar bait. And we've got this.
And Zwick can do that.
And Zwick can overplay that to death. He has made some really unnecessarily good films.
Yeah.
If he's not careful, this is going to be another one.
Alan Rickman directing A Little Chaos as well.
Starring
Kate Winslet, Stanley Tucci, Alan Rickman himself, and Matthias Schoenaerts.
It's a fine cast.
So, yeah. Story of Louis XIV.
There's also the international premiere of Jean-Marc Vallée's follow-up to Dallas Buyers Club, Wild, starring Reese Witherspoon, Laura Dern.
That's a very quick turnaround, isn't it?
Huge.
Yeah.
Isn't Reese Witherspoon on the verge of a star a year, but it's not.
Why? What's she been in?
Well, she's there's that.
Yeah.
She's in Harry Potter as well.
She's in that.
And there's a film that she's in that's being
Wild.
That's what I just said.
There's another one as well. She's in, which I read out today. When it comes to the title, there's another one she's in the title as well.
We have the new girlfriend, Francois Ozon.
Oh,
there we go. Yeah.
As long as he maintains that.
We have Lauren Scherfig's The Riot Club.
It's a load of posh twits being posh old and twits. It just sounds like another History Boys, but even less likable.
We have Sean Levy's This Is Where I Leave You. Leave Sean Levy alone. Right.
This Is Where You Leave Us.
It's got Jason Bateman, Tina Fey, Adam Driver. Adam Driver hasn't made a bad movie yet, so.
There's a first time ever.
It's got Rose Byrne as well.
It's also Chris Evans' directorial debut, I believe.
Yep.
Here we go. Him and Alice Eve.
We have Sarek Andreasen's American Heist, which stars Adrian Brody and Hayden Christensen as brothers.
Have I heard that title somewhere before? It must be about a 70-set film of Adrian Scorsese and God Awful.
It's a generic title. But Adrian Brody, I'm on board.
I like Adrian Brody.
And who else?
Hayden Christensen.
I'm not on board.
He was good in Shattered Glass.
That's the
Shattered
one
Glass
good film. It's an excellent film. He's excellent. But it is the blip.
He is capable of that again. So
is he though? Maybe that was just one little flash of light.
I'd like to believe that he's capable of it.
We all would. I just don't think it.
We have Cake by Daniel Barnes, which stars Jennifer Aniston, Anna Kendrick, William H. Macy, Felicity Huffman, and Sam Worthington.
There's a film called Cake starring Anna Kendrick.
Yes.
It's almost been reading my wish list.
But,
tish.
Yeah. We have a son.
You got the party on there, right?
Yeah. We have Zhang Jimu's Coming Home.
Ooh, Zhang Jimu.
Yep.
Nice.
Gong Li's in this.
It's been a few years since Curse of the Little Power.
We have The Drop by Michael Roxon. which is Tom Hardy, Noomi Rapace, James Gandolfini,
Matthias
Schoenhart again, and John Ortiz.
I just missed James Gandolfini.
Yeah, that makes me sad.
But that cast, Tom Hardy, James Gandolfini, Noomi Rapace.
Good.
Yeah, that's what we'd like to see.
I haven't seen her face come close to her performance of Girl Who Dragged It Too in any of the English-language films she's made thus far. It's only because she's just wasted.
Yeah, she hasn't done an awful lot of good ones.
Oh, well.
We have David Olhoffen's Far From Men, Leon de Homme, starring Viggo Mortensen.
Ooh.
Last scene, set in Algeria.
Last scene aping the man from Del Monte.
Very cool.
What else have we got?
The man from Del Monte. He say yes. The man from Scotland. He say it's possible.
We have Peter Charles Holmes, Hector in Search for Happiness.
Oh no, not Peter Charles.
Please stop making
me. With Rosamund Pike, Simon Pegg, Christopher Plummer, Tony Collette, Stellan Skarsgård, Jean Reno.
Why is such a good cast, Peg aside? Big wasted on Peter
Charles. That's gone to the bottom of my films to see this year.
I've seen posters for it. It does look such.
The Good Lie is the other film starring Reese Witherspoon, directed by Philippe Faldereau. And it is it's based on The Lost Boys of Sudan. It's got Corey Stoll and a whole heap of other people.
Who is Corey Stoll? I've seen his name.
He's in,
which one is he?
Yeah, he is. He's not one of the Coreys.
It's been a long time since he's been in Coreys.
Barry Levinson's got a new film too.
What did happen to Corey Kane?
Yeah, we
the
won't.
The thrills are to find out.
We won't go into that.
I remember the thrills.
Yeah.
We lost our matter.
The Humbling, Barry Levinson. Yes.
Now,
based on Philip Roth's final novel.
Oh, I did like that novel. Who's in it?
Al Pacino. Mandy Patinkin, Diane Wiest, and Greta Gerwig.
Mandy Patinkin, who else?
Diane Wiest.
And
Greta Gerwig.
I just want to see that for a shout for a growl off between Pacino and Patinkin. That could be somewhere.
Yeah.
But Levinson has really, really been one of the most. He's had one of the most disappointing career trajectories any director I can think of. I mean, how do you go from stuff like Diner and Rain Man down to this dreck in the last 15, 20 years?
I did like Bugsy.
That's probably the last notable one.
Yeah.
And then since then.
Ooh. I like The Babe.
I've heard mixed things on The Babe. It's supposed to be his best in a while.
Yeah, it's not great.
Mind you, a director of his caliber tackling horror so late in his career, I'm all for that.
It's more to watch.
We have Saverio Constanzo's Hungry Hearts, who stars Adam Driver.
Does everybody have one?
Yes.
Springsteen fan had to make the gap.
Then we have Liam Neeson in.
Hey!
Yeah.
Hi, buddy.
Yeah.
Khalil
Gibran's The Prophet.
I'm sorry, I've just realised that if I ever meet Liam Neeson, I'll end up just sticking out my hand and going, "Hi, buddy!"
Which is an animated film which was partially animated by our own Tom Moore.
Ah!
Yep, so it showed a can. Liam Neeson, Salma Hayek, we have John Krasinski, Frank Langella, Alfred Molina, John Rhys-Davies, and Kevin Jenay Wallace.
The Paramount cast.
Yeah. So they're all providing voices for it. It looks glorious. It's a beautiful looking film.
Alright.
We have Daniel Barber's The Keeping Room, Britt Marling, Hayley Steinfeld.
Britt Marling, I'm missing on her ever since I saw Another Earth, which was just such a pretentious pile of nonsense. Hayley Steinfeld, though, True Grit, she's absolutely magnificent. She had one.
Yeah, but she's also in 3 Days to Kill. Well, she's fine in 3 Days to Kill. It's just that
she's in the sequel to Pitch Perfect. I'm willing to forgive.
Speaking of Pitch Perfect, Anna Kendrick.
You have to.
In Richard Lagravan's The Last 5 Years.
You're not a fan, Jay, of Richard Lagravan?
No, it's Pitch of Long. Kind of issues, but it's the same generic kind of stuff. It's,
Last thing I heard is involved with he wrote the script for Behind the Candelabra.
Yeah, you think you should speak the screenwriter.
Then we have Learning to Drive by Isabel Cossey. Yes, Patricia Clarkson and Ben Kingsley. Ben Kingsley plays a chic taxi driver who is teaching Patricia Clarkson how to drive.
They couldn't get a chic, though. Was Alexander
Sieg
busy? Did you get a sheet? I want to see that. I liked Kingsley in Jose's Elegy with Neville Cruz. So yeah, one of my teams.
Then we have Bill Pollard's Love and Mercy.
Oh, for a second there, I thought you were going to say Bill Pullman. Sorry, Bill Pullman.
With Paul Dano, Elizabeth Banks, John Cusack, and Paul Giamatti.
That sounds like my bosom.
You don't like the Banks?
How could you not like the Banks?
It's about Brian Wilson.
Yeah, that gives me fear.
We have David Gordon. David Gordon Green and Mangelhorn.
Good God.
Al Pacino, Holly Hunter, and Chris Messina.
They're clearly hoping for Pacino to turn up this year.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That's a heck of a lineup there, Toronto.
No, it's not. I'm not done yet. We have Men, Women, and Children by Jason Reitman. It gets better. Starring Jennifer Garner, Adam Sandler, and Julie Greer.
Oh, Christ, for the Benty part.
I
will never forgive that man for inflicting Labor Day upon us. If he thinks he can make a comeback by putting Adam Sandler on screen again, he is another thing.
Only PTA can do that.
Only PTA can do that.
Then we have Israel Horvitz, My Old Lady, with Maggie Smith, Kevin Kline, and Kristen Scott Thomas.
Smith plays a lead role called My Old Lady. That sounds a bit harsh. Mind you, Kevin Kline and Kristen Scott Thomas.
Yeah, this is made for Philip.
Hey.
Yeah, it's a fine cast.
Yeah.
Fine, fine cast.
Dan Gilroy's Nightcrawler, Jake Gyllenhaal, the trailer which dropped during the week and looks very interesting.
It does indeed, actually.
Gyllenhaal's picking
very good stuff. Yes, he is.
More powerful.
Alongside Riz Ahmed, Bill Paxton, and Rene Russo.
Oh, I'm glad she's back.
Somebody release Enemy, for goodness sake.
It's January. It's out in
January,
yeah.
Oh, goodness. It was made before Prisoners.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And from what I've heard, it's an infinitely better film.
Oh, it is. It really is. It may be in my top 20 this year.
We have Abel Ferreira, starring Willem Dafoe.
Pasolini!
Yeah, Pasolini.
Oh, I cannot wait for this. It could be really bad for Ferrara, but I don't care. Ferrara's always watchable, and Dafoe playing Pasolini. Oh, my God.
Jean-Baptiste Leonetti's The Reach, starring Michael Douglas. Jeremy Irvine. Hannah Mangan, Lawrence, and Ronnie Cox.
Jeremy Irvine, go away. Go away. Seriously. He needs to just go away. Now!
I think he wants to go away.
War horse. He's my horse, sir. Yes, I believe that.
The Daily Show's Jon Stewart has made Rosewater. Story of Iranian Canadian journalist Mazir Bahari, played by Mikhail Garcia Bernal.
Interesting.
Yep.
The only other film I think Stewart has had any involvement in was Death to Smoochie. Anyone ever seen Death to Smoochie?
I loved
it. Yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
It's a weird one.
I really like it.
I'm all for any film that was Edward Norton playing a children's TV character singing songs like, "Oh, we'll get you off that smack, oh yes, we will."
I really like that. It's a very underrated film.
It's very strange, but totally quite awkward at times. But
yeah.
James Marsh's The Theory of Everything with Eddie Redmayne, Felicity Jones, David Twills, and Emily Watson.
I'm up for that. I like Shadow Dancer.
I like Shadow Dancer as well.
I do quite like his documentary work about Man of Fire. Man of Wire is.
Chris Rock's directorial debut, Top 5, with starring, oh, swear to God, Chris Rock, Rosario Dawson, Smoove, Gabrielle Union, Tracy Morgan, Cedric the Entertainer, Kevin Hart, Jerry Seinfeld, Adam Sandler, Whoopi Goldberg, Sherry Shepherd, Jay Farrell, Anders Holm, and Michael Shea.
I'm assuming a lot of them be just cameos.
Who's Smoove? I thought I was Smoove.
you definitely are. Speaking of Smoove, Noah Baumbach. While We're Young.
Oh, God. Jay, you are so up for this one.
Ben Stiller, Naomi Watts, Amanda Seyfried, Adam Driver. This he's going to test my theory that Adam Driver's not making bad movies.
He really is.
I think Noah Baumbach's best film is still The Spin the Wheel.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I wince at the thought of him and Stiller back together. I hated Greenberg.
I didn't hate it, but I thought it was a masterpiece compared to Frances Ha. I didn't hate it.
I prefer Frances Ha a little bit, but
really
not that much. She makes
performance away from Trolley TV at the window.
Yeah, she's marvelous.
Sundance hit Whiplash.
Whiplash.
Yeah.
Oh, here, think
Damien Chazelle's debut. Miles Teller, J.K. Simmons. Yeah.
I heard J.K. Simmons.
But J.K. Simmons is always fantastic.
J.K. Simmons would be fantastic reading a phone book.
He would.
Yeah, that's all, you know. He's
especially yelling at like J. Jonah Jameson.
Yes.
All right, we'll start with the games.
And we'll call time on that because that went on way longer than I thought it was going to.
But it's a great list, and I hope some of them do turn up in London. And more importantly, I hope I get to go. I don't want to like yet, but I'll get there.
Yes.
We believe in you, Philip.
Thank you.
I always worry when Philip starts wangling anything.
You're terrible, Muriel.
Yeah. We're out.
Good luck.
Bye.